Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Sal. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. We got a little bit different format today.
I don't know if I like being this close to you.
I kind of like it. It's like being on the same bus seat.
Okay, that feels a little weird.
I'll leave the bus joke.
Oh, come on. It's a short bus. Well, we got one of our favorite guests. He was our favorite, but now he's making comments. So he's one of our favorite guests, Mr. Aaron Bledsoe.
And he's on the bus with us.
And he is on the bus with us at Lagodi Grain.
I'm the baggage boy on the bus.
Well, before we get going, we got the question of the day. Aaron, this is a farm boy question. What is one of your favorite smells and one of your least favorite smells on the farm?
So my favorite smell is a fresh cut cornfield right after a rain. And that is because right after a rain and a fresh cut cornfield, I'm probably able to hunt in that field. So that's like it.
And if you're a dove, that is your least favorite smell.
Yeah. No, it always does. I mean, something about it has that fall smell.
It
just has that fall smell. Speaking of smells, the worst one is, oh my gosh, I absolutely hate it. It is chicken blood. The stuff that they inject into the fields. Yeah, that stuff is rancid.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, cow manure, hog manure, all that stuff, not that bad. Even like chicken litter, like that's not that bad. Like it lingers, don't get me wrong, but it goes away. Chicken blood, it does not just linger. It like infests itself into your nose and every bit of your being. And I will say, what? There's a couple people, and you know who you are.
You know who you are.
Without lowering the lid on the top of the tanker. And I know. And everybody else knows. And it drives us nuts. So please close the lid.
You know who you are.
Rancid.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he would say bad. I thought you would say rotten grain or something. Beans.
What's weird is sometimes rotten grain kind of smells sweet and it kind of has a good smell to it. I don't know why, but
these grain guys.
Yeah, that's odd.
They're not right.
Yeah. That is not right.
Now, rotten grain submerged in water, that's gross.
That's rough.
That's rough. Yeah, that's rough. But
Jeff,
no, that chicken blood is by far the worst.
Yeah, you got the top one for that. What's one of yours? Best and least.
My best smell, I think, is freshly turned soil in the spring. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just, they should make a cologne out of that for farmers.
Like moldboard plow type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the worst smell. Yeah.
The hint. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Then I think the worst smell, rotten soybeans.
Oh, man.
An old bag of Thimet.
Bag of Thymet.
Yeah, that's how old I am.
That'll get a certain group of our people in the comments, the over 50 crowd. Yeah, that's bad stuff. Yep. I think my best is, nice. My best, I think the best smell, like when corn's pollinating in the late summer, and you can just go to just a sweet smell as you're going down the country or county roads. And probably the least favorite is, has to do with chickens, and it's whenever they're that just the chicken manure when they first spread it, and it's pretty rough. I don't know why, because hogs and cattle manure are just fine, but
freshly mown hay is up on the side too.
So. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, well, got nostalgia going now, but we got a WASDE report in June too. So, Aaron, can you give us a rundown of some of the highlights, and are there highlights?
They did lower they raised exports for this old crop on corn. A lot of people thought they should on that. That a lot of people are still thinking they'll raise it again as we get closer to July and August, and they kind of making those final revisions to the 24-25 crop. So they upped the exports, but that was it. I mean, across the board, that was literally all there was for corn and beans. They did nothing to beans. It was kind of a ho-hum report, honestly. Even my commentary that I sent out to some of our growers and stuff literally said it was a ho-hum report. There wasn't much there. There's a lot of other news going on in the marketplace, but that one was just kind of a muted point. A lot of eyes are on that June 30th report, those acreage reports and the quarterly stocks. That's where the main focus is right now.
Is it unusual for this one to be that boring, I guess, or uneventful?
When you're this close, I mean, the June 30th report,
yeah,
that's just always a big one. I mean, those are just always big ones because you get a look to see what's still left out on the farm. Of course, that's a big question mark for the end users, you know. So they want to know what's left out on the farm. Is it in the commercial hands or in the farmer's hands? And then you get a look, potentially, them making a change to any of the new crop numbers to let them know whether some people, you know, whether the end users are going to have to work to get the crop in because there's not as much, or if there's going to be a plethora of it. I think the June usually gets overshadowed. It's not that they can't make changes in June. They have, and they do historically sometimes, but the end of the month is the big one. That's the big one.
What are the market sentiments for this report coming out? Is it optimistic, guardedly optimistic?
I think they're guardedly optimistic. I shouldn't say guardedly. Honestly, a lot of the bulls are very bullish on this old crop corn. They think that the exports should be raised another 50 to 150 million bushels. So that will help out the new crop position, right? Because that's going to lower the carry-in stocks that we bring into this new one. But on the flip side, you've got the bears talking a pretty good story of saying, well, yeah, but the feed usage should go down too. And I think we're going to get the cattle placement today, or, you know, how it looks versus last year. And so they're saying the feed usage could easily come down 50 to 150 million bushels because there's just not as many livestock animals out there right now. You know, we're feeding less animals, especially in the cattle industry, from what it looks like.
Had the tail end of the bird flu. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, it's just kind of like we have a good export number, but then we may have a lackadaisical feed usage number, and net, it really doesn't do much to the picture. But either side that you talk to, they have very convincing stories to tell. So I it feels like we're kind of in a quagmire right now. You know, I mean, I, especially on this old crop, this new crop stuff, I think the sentiment, they both kind of have strong stories too. And it depends where you sit in the nation, you know, like right here in Lagodi, and we've been the garden spot for the last couple of years. And this year, you know, if we look out our back door, we should be saying the crop, good, excellent ratings. They're way overdone. We don't have that. I mean, we don't have a horrible crop by any means, but we don't have a 72% good to excellent crop out here on corn, you know. But if you look at Iowa, on the other hand, versus last year, I mean, they got out to the gates like they were running the Indy 500 and everybody else was doing pedal carts, right? Mm-hmm. They got everything in the ground at extremely quick paces. Emergence looked great. So we've got varying different stories going on here as far as, do we get to that 95 or do we go over 95 million acres of corn? There's a lot still think we get above that 95.3. We may be looking at, you know, 95.5, 96 maybe. But again, human emotion, you know, right? You look out your back door and you think about Ohio being behind, some of the weather that we've had here in southern Indiana, Kentucky with the flooding. Do we get to those numbers? I don't know. I'm starting to have a hard time believing that we get. Do we hit 95? Maybe, but I don't see us going up above. If we do, I'm wondering if the harvested acre number comes down. Are those acres earmarked for corn? Did they get planted? But are we really going to get anything out of them at this point in certain areas? Right.
So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and then to timestamp this a little bit, we're about here toward the last week of June, or getting closer. We're recording this a few days early. And globally, there's just so much going on with the Middle East and still the ongoing war in Ukraine and how it affects exports and imports and production of nitrogen that Jeff has told us about, and And you'd think that those things would all come into play, but maybe if maybe it's baked in, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, I mean, Jeff and I have talked about it too. I mean, it's the beauty of him being an office away. You know, we've talked about some of this wild things going on in the world, and you know, corn globally, it's not like we have a burdensome amount of corn out there, really. I mean, it's not, we're not tight, but we don't have a huge amount of it. It's not like we're trying to work through a stockpile that's just massive. Beans, on the other hand, it's like we've got two different kind of stories going. We've got the U.S. stocks to use rate projected for this new crop at like a 6.7%. You know, I said anytime when we get below six or around six, you know, you start to see some premium coming into the bean market, just on the stocks to use rate. But if you look globally, man, we got a lot of beans.
Really?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we're kind of talking about those late teen years type of numbers as far as what your stocks to use rate would be globally. And so that's not great, right? That's not great for prices. But what is great was what the news that we got this previous Friday on the soy biomass diesel, right? That was, the EPA came out. Now, there's still a lot of details to get figured out. I mean, I know everybody's looking for the 45Z tax credit guidance, RINs, what are they going to do with the small refinery exemptions, the ones that have been out there for a while? And I'm not an energy guy, so they're going to know a lot more about it than I will. But for the soybean complex, it was great news. You know, they came in saying that, you know, basically it was a lot more than what they were hoping for. You know, we were going from 3.3, I think, billion gallons for this year. They're upping it to 5.6. billion gallons.
It's a good trend.
That needs to be blended. Yeah. So that it's great, you know, for the soybean complex. And what's nice about it is if I look at the bean complex as far as the demand side, right? So if we look at corn, demand has been the one holding this corn price up. Okay. If we see any kind of chink in the demand for corn, we'll see prices tumble. But demand is holding it strong right now. On the bean front, the projection for this new crop, they've got some really high marks out there for bean usage. And it's tough because, speaking, you know, if we draw this question back or draw my talk back to globally, and a stroke of a pen, the Middle East issues, the Ukraine, if a deal gets done with China, then yeah, maybe we do hit these demand numbers, you know, especially on the export front. But if we don't, man, I have a hard time seeing us hit these types of numbers, right? But with this soy bio, you know, with the biomass, and it's not just soybeans, but soybeans definitely won on this. If we can see that demand hold like they're projecting, that will definitely help out the bean price. And we're seeing that. I mean, beans have just, we've gotten a very beneficial tailwind on that front. I mean, we've got some targets getting hit here lately that I was starting to wonder.
Great.
You know, am I losing hope on beans? But right now, we've at least stopped the bleeding, added some premium into the market. So we'll see how this thing goes.
Nice. That's probably a pretty good place to. That's kind of a bit of as much positive as we're going to get out of this. So we may just wrap it up right there. So I think that's probably a good one to wrap up on.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not all bad. It's just, I mean, Jeff's, I'm sure, has talked about Iran and being the number three supplier of nitrogen. There's just a lot going on. And literally with a couple of decisions, the marketplace could be turned on its head, right? Good or bad.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And
that's the sentiment that we're getting a lot out there. Anybody you talk to is like, even on the professional side, right? Not that the farmers aren't professional, but if you look at what you would deem as market insiders or analysts, the commercial side, well, where do you think this thing's really going? Like, you don't want to tell a farmer where it's going because you hate to be speculative in that realm. But the human side is always like, where's this thing going? Everyone's just like, I have no idea. We don't know. Yeah, because both sides are like, I don't want to say we're either overpriced or underpriced, but nobody really has a great feeling for, well, all the things are lining up where this could happen. Like, well, yeah, all the things are lining up where this could happen too on the other complete other side of this coin. So we just don't know.
Yep.
But
Well, where can people go and sign up to get your updates? I know you send out some text messages and stuff like that when you get reports. What's the method for getting signed up to do that if we've got some listeners that don't receive that information today?
Yeah, so a lot of it is, I think you can go onto our website. I'll have to double check, but I know since we've made this change to Premier Connect, we're still trying to figure out on the grain side a little bit of the nuances, but usually they go out with the cash bid group. We are trying to fine tune things. So if there's some people out there that just want to get, if they're not really in our market, but they want to get some market updates from us, you know, even if they're too far away from us to deliver to one of our locations, but they're still in the premier geographical area footprint, whether agronomy or energy, all you got to do is get a hold of us. That's Jason up at Columbus or myself here at Lagodi. And it's as simple as we just need your name and phone number or email, whichever one you would prefer. And we get you plugged into the system. You're not going to get a bunch of other information that you don't want. So you just let us know what you want. We'll get you put into a group and blast that information out to you. It's not big. It's not one big group chat where you're 5,000 other farmers.
Oh my gosh.
It was a lighten up. No, it's just for you.
So. Very good. All right. Well, Aaron, thanks for joining us today. We know you're busy and you got a lot going on. So thanks for hopping on with us.
Yep. No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's another episode of The High Ground powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.